Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you, Brother Gary, for allowing me to come and share for a few minutes from the Word of God. I appreciate the opportunity to come and be here. When I first got here, Brother Gary greeted me and said that Brother Mike was going to come and put my mic on. So I met Brother Mike, and Mike, normally I don't pick on people when I'm not visiting the first time, but I'll pick on you today. So I saw the mic, and he said, well, Brother Jerry, first of all, I want to take you. And so Brother Mike, I don't know if you saw or not, he took me into this back room back here. And I didn't know if he was going to hug me or if he was going to kiss me. So I'm just glad that he put the mic on me. So, but it is a joy to be here this morning. As your pastor shared, for the last 18 years, I've been the chaplain of Memorial Medical Center. It's been a pleasure to be there, and I've been able to share the love of Jesus Christ with many, many patients. How many of you have ever been a patient at Memorial? So, well, a few of you. Well, amen. Thank you for coming. Helps me keep my job. And so it is a joy to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, and for a few minutes this morning, I would like to share with you from these passages what I believe that God's Word is saying to us this morning. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, O Lord Jesus, for this morning, for this time, O Lord, in which we could come and worship you in song and in the reading of your word. And dear Father, I just pray that you'd be with us as we study the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who came to live a perfect life, who died for the sins of the whole world, and who was resurrected the third day so that we might have hope, not only for the present, but also for the future. And so, Lord, bless this time together as we share. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, Martin Luther said that if a thief was going to take away the Bible, and all that was left was the Epistle of Romans and the Gospel of John, then everything would be okay. For me personally, one of my favorite books in the Bible is the Gospel of John. For in the Gospel of John, the Gospel writer shares with us about the life of Jesus Christ. Many of you have probably led someone to Christ over the years. And probably one of the first books that you would encourage them to read in the Bible is the Gospel of John. Because in the Gospel of John, it begins to share with us the whole gospel of Christ. And so this morning, for a few minutes, I'd like to share with you what I believe these passages has to say. John gives us the purpose of his gospel when he writes these words in the 20th chapter, verse 31, when he says, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. He also shares that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, when he says these words. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. This morning, do you know that you have eternal life? You know, that's a very interesting question because, you know, I at the hospital all the time, I ask people, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that if you died today and That's probably not a good thing to say in the hospital because, you know, people do die almost every day in the hospital. But I asked them, I said, do you have eternal life? And, you know, it's very interesting. I hear all kinds of answers. They say, well, you know, my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. Or my mother used to go to church. And some people say, well, you know, I really don't know whether or not I have eternal life. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, as a believer in Jesus Christ, and as you, a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to know whether or not you have eternal life. Does everyone here to know that they have eternal life? Amen, huh? For how sad it would be as a chaplain in a hospital to visit with people and to see them die every day to realize whether or not I had eternal life. John says to us, I have written these things so that you might know that you have eternal life. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching another song, another message about Jesus? I know all there is about Jesus. Well, you may be able to say that, but the challenge is that we have as believers, and especially as Baptists, we know all that we need to know, but we don't do all that we need to do. Amen? And so we see here this morning that John begins to bring us this story. We see here of who John was. John had a brother named James. And who did they call John and James? What did they call them? The Sons of Thunder. I can imagine that their mother probably gave them that name because when they were young, they probably began to cause a lot of trouble there in the home. Some of the most famous passages in the Gospel of John is John what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One that I use very often, John 11, verse 25, which says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. See, ladies and gentlemen, we study God's Word, and we need to know God's Word. But it's not just enough to come on Sunday. We need to apply God's Word to our heart. Another famous passage in the Gospel of John is found in John chapter 14. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Aren't those comforting words this morning? To know, for all of us, that when we come to that moment in life, when we breathe our last breath, that the next breath we take will be in heaven with the Lord. Amen? You don't seem too excited about that. Isn't that exciting? To know that when you... where's Brother Dave? You know, they were hooping and hollering when you were singing, but when it comes to preaching, they just kind of get a little bit docile, huh? Isn't it wonderful to know that when you die and that you breathe your last breath here on earth and when you breathe your next breath in heaven that you're going to see the Lord face to face? Amen? Okay, I just want to know if you're awake or not. See, the more amens I have, the shorter the sermon gets. So, John wrote this gospel, the Gospel of John, to talk about his faith. John says, believing is seeing. John tells the story of Jesus by which he changed people's lives. You remember when Jesus was with Nicodemus and he told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, but how can I go into the womb again? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Aren't you glad that each of us here today have been born again, huh? John writes, these things I have written to you that you may know that ye have eternal life. Why is that so important? Why is it so important for us to realize that we have eternal life? It affects our whole life here on earth. Because, you know, if there was no eternal life, if there's nothing beyond the grave, then you and I would live a different life. I know I would. If there was no God, if there was no eternal reward and eternal punishment, and I would not be held accountable for my sins, then I would say, then, whoopee, I'm just going to live the kind of life I want to live. But that's not true, is it? For the Bible says that every man shall give an account of himself to God. Every man should give an account of himself to God. And so the question is this morning, this man who we call Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, what are you going to do with him this morning? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? So this morning, as we look at these verses out of the book of John, John introduces the Lord. He begins by proclaiming that Jesus reveals God the Father and tells us that when he came to the earth, God's Son showed the human race what the Father was like. Remember the disciples said, you know, if you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father, huh? And guess what, folks? Today, June 26, 2011, the only Jesus Christ that the world can see is the life that you live. So what kind of life do you live? Is Jesus Christ the Savior and the Lord of your life? All right, let's look briefly. Let's look briefly at the passage. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, in the beginning was what? The Word. You know, it's interesting that John would say that Jesus Christ was the Word. Because as you think about that, you look back to Genesis chapter 1, and God created the heavens and the earth. What did he say? Let there what? Let there be light. That God did what? That God spoke the world into existence. So John says, number one, that Jesus Christ is the Word. We talk about what? When we bring our Bibles to church, what do we say about it? We say that it's the what? The Word of God. Sometimes when you pray, sometimes when you're praying and God reveals something to you, you say, I just got a what? A word from the Lord. So number one, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word. But look what else it says in verse number one. It says what? In the beginning was what? The Word. So not only is Jesus Christ the Word, number two, Jesus Christ is what? Eternal. We'll get to God. We'll get down there in a few minutes. Jesus Christ is eternal. Jesus Christ has no beginning, and Jesus Christ has no end. If you wanted to, there in Genesis says, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, you could say, in the beginning Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that true? Because there was no, because even though we say that Jesus Christ is God's Son, Jesus Christ was not created by the Father. Jesus Christ is God, isn't he, huh? So number one, we learn this morning that Jesus Christ is the Word. Number two, we learn that Jesus Christ, is that me? Is someone trying to shoot me this morning? Okay. Jesus Christ is eternal. And number three, look at number three, what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. So not only is Jesus Christ God's only begotten Son, it also says that Jesus Christ is God. You know, soon after Christ left the earth, there began to be a theory about whether or not Jesus Christ was really God. In fact, people couldn't believe that an earthly body could hold God himself. There was that great debate. Well, how much of Jesus Christ was man, and how much of Jesus Christ was God? And there was that great debate. How could a man still be God? You know, I fully don't understand that. I really fully don't understand the incarnation, how that Jesus Christ left heaven and humbled himself and came and took on the form of man. But I can tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is all man and he was all God. Amen? But imagine what Jesus Christ had to do. God the Father was talking to God the Son. And God the Father looked upon the world, and he had saw a sinful nation. He had saw a sinful world. But God had a plan, didn't he, huh? The Bible says that God had a plan for you and me even before the foundations of the earth. That God had a plan for us. And the plan was to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our ultimate sacrifice. You know, for the Jews, they had believed that they would just sacrifice once a year. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sacrifice, and that would be enough. But that wasn't God's plan, wasn't he? For God sent his Son. Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, was all God, was all man, and became our sacrifice. Our ultimate sacrifice, amen? Remember when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross? And the Bible says that he gave up the ghost. And the ground began to shake. And the veil was rent in two from where? From top to bottom. And that very moment, Jesus Christ said, it was finished. No longer do we have to give a sacrifice. No longer do we have to do anything to receive the forgiveness of our sins. Aren't you glad for that? Too many people, even Baptists, think they have to do something to receive God's forgiveness. Let me tell you something. You can't do enough to receive God's forgiveness. It was paid for on the cross of when Jesus Christ paid for it with his blood, his shed blood on the cross. What's that old song we used to sing? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, huh? You know, too many times I think we try to think that we can work our way to heaven. Even sometimes us Baptists who know that that's not true, sometimes we try that. We come on Sunday morning, we come on Sunday night, we come on Wednesday night, and boy, we think that we're good with God. Let me tell you something. You know what the Bible says about our works? That our works is what? As is filthy rags, huh? But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross? And all we have to do is confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I better go on. I'm not going to get through all these points this morning. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. No, we won't be. What are you supposed to say? Hey, all right. See, you guys have already forgot, huh? Number one, Jesus Christ is the Word. Number two, Jesus Christ is eternal. Number three, everywhere that God the Father was, so was Jesus Christ. And number four, Jesus Christ is equal to God. And number five, Jesus Christ is God. Did you get him? He's the Word. He's eternal. He's everywhere that God the Father was, so was the Son. He's equal to God. But Jesus Christ is God, huh? You know, that's hard for me to understand. How that God could be one, but could be three at the same time. This is not original me, and I won't take credit for it. But if you look, I have three fingers up, don't I? You see three fingers? But when you turn them this way, like I got arthritis in my fingers. But if you turn that way, how many fingers do you see? One. See, and some people say, well, you know, I don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't make any sense. Can I tell you a little secret? It doesn't make any difference whether it makes any sense to you, because how do we live our life? By faith, don't we, huh? We live our life by faith. So Jesus Christ is the Word. He's equal to God. He is God. And then listen what else this passage says to us this morning. All things were made through him, And without him, nothing was made that was made. So in other words, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ created all things, didn't he? He created the birds in the air, the fish in the sea. And he even created you and me. Because Jesus Christ is God. But this passage goes on when it says these words. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, it's interesting at the hospital. Sometimes some patient will be sick, and after much prayer from the family and good medical care from the doctors, sometimes they think that they can get well. And so, or sometimes the patient's heart stops and we give chest compressions. And what do we say? We brought them back to what? Life. I've never said this because I want to keep my job. But you know, I say to myself, how foolish do we think we are? Man cannot give anyone life. Only God. Because let me tell you something. Your heart's beating this morning. You're blinking a lot. Maybe you're listening to me. But those are all objects of Jesus Christ. You can't make your heart beat even if you wanted to be, huh? Now, you men, when you were young and you met your wife, maybe your heart beat a little bit faster. But that was still God, wasn't it? The Bible says, Jesus Christ brings life. What does it say there in John chapter 10? I've come that ye might have life and what? Have it more what? Abundantly. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has promised you and me life. But not only life, he promised us eternal life, hadn't he? And you know what bothers me about sometimes about us who call ourselves Christians? Sometimes we Christians are some of the most miserable, got frowns on our face, don't have any joy in our life. God has given you and me life. Amen, sister. Amen. I'm not hearing amens. I've got to keep going. I haven't heard enough amens yet. Okay. John's gospel says that Jesus Christ is the Word. He's eternal. He's God. He's the creator of all things. And without Jesus Christ, there is no creation. Number 7. Jesus Christ is life, but Jesus Christ is also what? Light. He's not only our life, he's also our light. What's the old chorus? Are you saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? See, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't noticed or not, we live in a world of darkness. And the world is getting darker and darker and darker. And Satan is having a wild time right now. And the only hope for this world is through us Christians who must let our light shine. We must let our light shine. And where do we get that light? Through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is life, and Jesus Christ is light. He brings life and light to us as well. But then let me move down here to verse number 11. It says, he came into his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of Father, but of God. The Bible says he came into his own, and his own received him not. Obviously, he was talking about the Jews here, wasn't he, huh? He was talking about how Jesus Christ came to the Jews, but they didn't believe him. But I want to give it a different spin. He came into his own, and his own received him not. You know, for the most part, at the hospital, I'm very well received. And whether they're Christians or not, whether they're Hindu or Buddhists, almost everyone receives me into the room. Whether I pray with them is really immaterial. But I remember last week, a lady was talking to the doctor about her mother. And when I walked up there, she saw that I had my Bible in my hand. And immediately, she looked at me and says, "No, just get away. I'm not interested." You know, here in America, where we have been given so much, where we have so much, but there are people in our neighborhoods, maybe even in our families, who have heard the gospel preached, who have heard the gospel sung, who have seen it on TV, who go by churches day after day, but they have rejected Jesus Christ, haven't they, huh? And you know what the sad part is? They think everything's going to be okay. But you know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2? The Bible says that every knee, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, you know, I say, folks, all those people who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, when I go and visit them in the room, guess what? There's a day coming when they're going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But guess what? By then it's going to be too late, isn't it, huh? By then it's going to be too late. So what does this have to do with you and me? Because we all know that Jesus Christ is eternal. We all know that Jesus Christ is God. We all know that he came from heaven to be our Savior. But how does that apply to us? How does that apply to us? You know, I was thinking about that on the way here. And I was looking in the hymnal there, and we do have that little song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. We all know that song, don't we, huh? We could probably sing it by memory. But do we really love Jesus? You know, in the hospital, we also have our birthing department. And in that birthing department, when a baby is born, I don't know if any of you have heard that or not, but we even play a little lullaby to announce to everyone that a new child has been born. And you know that those parents will take pictures of that baby and they'll bring announcements out announcing that child has been born. But you know, you and I as believers say, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." But sometimes we keep that love to ourselves, don't we, huh? We don't tell others. We don't share with others. You say, "Well, why don't we share?" Well, we don't share because we're afraid someone's going to reject us. Well, you know, they rejected Jesus. They spit on him. They gambled away his robe. They hung him on a cross. The purpose this morning is this. If we really say that we love Jesus, we need to tell everyone, don't we, huh? That Jesus Christ is God. That Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth. That Jesus Christ is a forgiver of sin. And that Jesus Christ can give you life this morning. Amen? That Jesus Christ can give you life. So we love you. We say we love Jesus. But you know, don't ask him to get into my pocketbook. Don't ask him to take away my Monday night football. I love Jesus, but sometimes it's just on Sunday, isn't it, huh? This morning, for a few minutes, I've shared with you who Jesus Christ is. And I would say for the majority of us here this morning, most of us know Jesus Christ is our Savior. The challenge we have this morning is this. Now that we know who Jesus Christ is, we need to share it with others. And I can guarantee you, as you begin to share Jesus Christ with others, there are going to be people that are going to slam the door in your face. There are going to be other people who say, I'm not interested. But that's not our job, is it? Our job is to share Christ with the lost and with the dying world. And then finally, we say we know Jesus Christ, but are you assured of your salvation this morning? Have you been living your life based upon what you do for Christ? John writes, these things I have written to you that you may know that ye have eternal life. Do you have eternal life this morning? Is Jesus Christ your one and only Savior? Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in which we can be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And, oh, Lord, I just thank you for this time that we could focus it about your Son and for what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary. And, Father, I know that I'm as guilty as anyone else of not sharing Christ like I ought to. But, Father, today the message is this, that you have given us a wonderful gift through your Son, Jesus Christ, to the world, and that we need to share that with others. And Father, I pray today if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that Father, today might be the day that they would invite Jesus Christ into their life. And so, Father, this is your invitation. Father, this is your time. Use this time for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.